Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos Daf Lamed. We will begin at the new parak Shavuos Ha'edus. As we have already mentioned in previous shiurim, if Edim are aware of testimony and they falsely swear in denying that they know the testimony, and then they admit, they have to bring a carbon oil of Yoyrit. That is called a Shavuos Ha'edus. Our parak begins to discuss what is the situation of Shavuos Ha'edus. It's interesting to note that the Rishonim point out that Shavuos Ha'edus is only applicable by Dinei Mamonis, by financial Dinei Torah, even though certainly Edim are not only required for Dinei Mamonis than Torah. Furthermore, Mechas Chinuch says that Shavuos Ha'edus is only applicable in a situation where they're requested to say Edus, and then they deny saying, knowing it. But in a case where they, on their own initiative, swear that they don't know Edus, that is not a situation of Shavuos Ha'edus. So says the Mishnah, Shavuos Ha'edus, Noheges Banoshim V'loi Banoshim, it applies by men, not to women, B'chaykim V'loi B'kroivim, only people who are not related to the litigants or to the Bezdin, because otherwise the apostle to say Edus anyway, B'ksherim V'loi B'psulim, people who are kosher to say Edus, not people who are possible to say Edus. V'einin Noheges, for it only applies to individuals, El Beruin L'Hoyel B'fnei Bezdin, people who are could say Edus in front of Bezdin. As the Rishonim, and will become clear in the Gemara, the Mishnah seemingly could have just said the words, El Beruin L'Hoyel B'fnei Bezdin. Why does Mishnah have to say any more than that? So as it becomes clear in the Gemara, because if we only had Mishnah saying, El Beruin L'Hoyel B'fnei Bezdin, then we would say it's only people who are disqualified from saying Edus Midoraisa. Somebody who's disqualified Midrabanan maybe can't say, is still a candidate for Shavuos Ha'edus. By mentioning the first cases, we see that it comes to teach us that even people who are disqualified Midrabanan don't have the din of Shavuos Ha'edus. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, what does the Mishnah say, Banoshim V'loi Banoshim? Obviously, if it says only men, women are excluded. So one pshat, which will be the first part of the Gemara we're going to learn today, is that the Mishnah is trying to teach us that women are disqualified from Edus. But another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the Mishnah is telling us, Banoshim V'loi Banoshim, that even in circumstances that women are kosher to say Edus, simplest example is that both parties agreed that women could testify in this Din Torah, since women are inherently disqualified from saying Edus, that's why the Mishnah teaches us, Banoshim V'loi Banoshim, even if we're accepting their Edus, Shavuos Ha'edus doesn't apply to them. Interesting Machlokes Rishonim. We learned in the previous parak that actually, if you think about it, every situation of a Shavuos Ha'edus is also a situation of what we've been discussing extensively till now, of a Shavuos Pitui. So the Gemara essentially explained that since the Torah was Mechadish, the parasha of Shavuos Ha'edus, what the Torah is teaching us in that parasha is that there's a din of Shavuos Ha'edus to exclude the parasha, there is no Shavuos Pitui. So now the question that comes up is in the situations that described in our Mishnah, where Shavuos Ha'edus is not applicable, will someone who made the Shavuah be over a Shavuos Pitui? Some Rishonim have the opinion, absolutely. Because if there's no Shavuos Ha'edus, there's going to be a Shavuos Pitui. Others say no. What the Torah meant to say is that in a case where Shavuos Ha'edus is possible, even though in this particular circumstance Shavuos Ha'edus is not possible because these people are not kosher Edim, once it's in such a circumstance, there is no parasha not of Shavuos, there is no parasha of Shavuos Pitui. Continues the Mishnah in describing the opinion of Rameya. We discussed this in the previous year. B'fnei Bezdin, V'loi B'fnei Bezdin, Shavuos Ha'edus could take place in front of Bezdin and not in front of Bezdin. If it's taking place in front of Bezdin, even if the person isn't responding to a shvuah, that even the person is not responding to a shvuah that the other person made, it's still considered a valid shvuah sa'edis. But if it's in a situation where he's responding to someone else, and I'll explain this more in a minute, which means as follows, as we learned in the end of the previous year. In a situation where the person is responding to someone else, so if the person is making his own shvua, where somebody came up to him and said, you know Eidus for me, and the Eidim swear falsely that we do not, or as we learned in the previous year, saying Amen is equivalent to saying your own shvua, for me, says it makes no difference if they deny this in Beis Din or outside of Beis Din. It's considered a situation of Shavuos HaEdus. However, in a situation where the Edim, where the people come over to the Edim and say, swear that you know Edus for me, that you don't know Edus for me, and they don't respond, or they don't respond with an Amen, that's considered a Piyacherim. And according to the opinion of Rameyer, it makes a difference if this happens in Beis Din. It's still considered a situation of Shavuos HaEdus, whereas it happens outside of Beis Din, it's not considered a situation of Shavuos HaEdus. Interesting word from the Ktzais. The Ktzais says that even though our Gemara is teaching us, the Amishnah is teaching us, at least according to the opinion of Rameya, Mipi Acherim, it's considered a valid Shavuos HaEdus, at least in Beis Din. It has to be said in wording of Lahaba, of the future. But if the way it's articulated is for wording in the past, that isn't even considered Mipi Acherim under any circumstances. The Chacham disagree. We're going to explain this machlokes in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem. That may Mipi Atman, may Mipi Acherim. In both situations, it's not considered a situation of Shavuos HaEdus. Ain't Chayavim at Shikapim in Beis Din. Until it happens in Beis Din. What is the halacha? The Chayavim al Zodin HaShavuot. If somebody swears falsely, deliberately, or that means that they know that they're saying something that's not true. If they know they're saying something not true, but they aren't aware of the repercussions of the chiv carbon by saying something that's not true, it's still considered a shaygig. But if it's a pure shaygig, then not chayiv. So Rashi seems to say that what is pshat shigosai? They don't remember that they have Eidus. They indeed, when they swore that they don't know Eidus, that was indeed the case, that they didn't think, they didn't remember that they know Eidus. The Ran asks on Rashi. He says, if they truly thought that they didn't know Eidus, so they're saying the truth, they're swearing to the truth, that they don't know. So why would we think that the Chayav Karbon, that the Mishnah says, Ein Chayavim? So the Ran says a very interesting pshat in Rashi. The Ran says what the Mishnah means here is, that they indeed don't recall knowing Eidus. But were they to concentrate, they would remember. So we would think that maybe that's considered a shayig, because you can't call it a pure oinus. Teaches us the Mishnah that since at the moment that they swore that they don't know, they indeed didn't know, it's called a shayig. What is the oinish? Unlike what we learned till now, that by Shavuos Pitui, a carbon oil of a yair is brought only by shaygig. Here, even the maize that a carbon oil of a yair is brought. So the Mara began with the words that women, the Mishnah began that women are disqualified from Shavuos HaEdus because women are disqualified from saying Eidus. Ask the Gemara anonymously, from where do we indeed know this then? The Tanah Rabban, the Pasuk says, V'omdu shnei anoshim. Says the Braisa, Beidim HaKos Medaba. The Pasuk is referring to the Eidim. At the Omer Be'edim, and the pasuk is referring to Edim, Oyena El Baldinim, perhaps it's referring to the litigants. Shu'oimer Shalahem Ariv, if the pasuk already describes the litigants by saying a Shalahem Ariv, Hare Baladinim Omer, the pasuk already teaches us that's referring to the Baladinim. Hamani Mekayim, so what do we learn from the words Omdushnei Anoshim, Be'edim HaKos Medaber? So there's a number of questions to ask. First of all, what is the limit of the Braisa? How does Omdushnei Anoshim teach us that it's talking about men? Many times, asked the Rishonim, the Torah uses the words Anoshim, and it means men and women. So why here are we saying that it means specifically men? So the Rishonim respond, because what the Torah should have really written is V'omdushnei Ha'edim. That's the right words the Torah used. Why did the Torah change the wording and say Ha'anoshim? Teach us this halacha that women are disqualified from Eidus. The Mefarshim ask, but it's obvious that women are disqualified from saying Eidus. Eidus, as we know, Bezdin is only in session by day. And Mitzvah Saseish as Man Groma is not at night. So it remains a Mitzvah Saseish as Man Groma that women are excluded from. So why do we need a Pasuk to exclude women from being Eidim? So one Teretz that the Rishonim give is women are excluded from Mitzvah Saseish as Man Groma, but not from Mavois Saseish. The Pasuk says, Vim lo yagid v'nosa avoinon. So holding back Eidus is a lav. Lav makes no difference if it's Man Groma or not. Other Achroinim I saw say very nice pshat. The obligation that if someone knows testimony for you, that they have to come say testimony, is a constant obligation. Bezdin happens not to be open at night, so I can't fulfill that obligation. But that doesn't change that I have a 24/7 obligation, and that's why it's not called the Mitzvah Saseish Man Groma. So ask the Mefarshim, there's a rule. The Kol Kasher L'Hoyed, Kasher L'Odin. Kol Apostle L'Hoyed, Apostle L'Odin. Whoever is qualified to say Eidus can also be a Dayan. If you can't say Eidus, you can't be a Dayan. So ask the Rishonim, we know that one of the Shoiftim of Klal Yisrael was the Vayra. How could a Vayra have been a Shoifet? She's a woman, she's Apostle L'Hoyed, so she can't say, she can't be a Dayan either. So the simple Teretz is that in itself, that halacha is a machloikis. And we're going to have to say that that shita held that women are kosher for Eidus also, that women are possible for Eidus, but a kosher to be a dayan. But I saw a number of terutzim, because the halacha really is that a kol apostle lahayid apostle adon. So how was Dvora a shayfetas? I saw a number of terutzim. One Teretz is that she really didn't judge Klal Yisrael. She taught Klal Yisrael the halachas, but she didn't judge them. Another pshat that a shayfet is not necessarily a judge. A shayfet is a leader. She was the leader. She was a leader of Klal Yisrael, but she wasn't a judge. Another teretz that I saw is that similar to what I spoke about in the Mishnah, that if both parties are agreeable, that even somebody who's possible to be a dayan could be the dayan. That means, let's say two brothers have a dispute and they agree that the father could be the arbitrator. A father's possible. But if they both agree, it's fine. Here, Klal Yisrael agreed to take her on as a shayfet. And the third teretz that I saw is Mepi Adibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed her to this position. So even though normally, as we are learning, a woman is disqualified from being an aid, and Mimela, she's also possible from being a dayan, she can be here. Vim Nashav Chloimer continues the Braisa, and if we'll have a question, and the Gemara will soon describe what kind of question we could have, Nemekan Shnei. Here it says Shnei v'nela halon apishnei edim yokum dover mala halon. Just like there, it's obviously speaking about edim afkam be'edim. So Rishonim ask, here we have a gzeri shava. So why was the Braisa saying up front differently? So Mefarshim explain that that's the derech of the Braisa. It attempts one approach lahagdol toyo ladira. Takes one approach. If that approach doesn't work, it goes to another approach. Another pshat is, how do we know that Gzeirus Shavah is the proper Gzeirus Shavah? The Gzeirus Shavah teaches us the Omdushnei Anoshim should teach us that it's talking about Edom. My Imnosha Chloimer, what kind of question could we have on the first limud that we need the Gzeirus Shavah? The Chitema, Midlake Siva Shalem Hariv. If the Pasuk says Omdushnei Anoshim V'Ashalem Hariv, we would say that the Pasuk is speaking about two different groups. Hanoshim is referring to the Edom. Ashlam Ariv is talking about the litigants. But now that the Torah says Ashlam Ariv, we'll say that Kule Kro, that the entire Pasuk, Bebali Dinim Mishtoy, that it's only talking about the litigants, but it doesn't speak to the Edom at all. So how do I know that only men are kosher to be Edom? That's what the Brice has to say. Nemakan Shnei, Vnam Lahalan Shnei, Malahalan Be'edom, Afkan Be'edom. Tanya Idach. Three Brices we're going to learn, very similar Brices. Does the Pasuk indeed teach us about Edom, and therefore teach us that only men are qualified to be Edom? Or perhaps the Pasuk is referring to the Baldinim. Amit, Shnaim Boim Lodin. The Pasuk says, Omdushnei Anoshim. Do only two people come to the Dintaira? Shnoshe Ein Boim Lodin. Can you not have a Dintaira that involves more than two litigants? But continues the Braisa. Vimnaf Shechloimer. If you're going to want to say that this limud is not a good limud, namakan shnei, the pasuk says here shnei, v'nam lahalan shnei regarding v'omdu shnei, l'gam pishnei oidim yokum dover, Again, ask the Gemara, "My im nashach loimer." Why would you ask a question? V'chi teima, because you say that the Torah says shnei. It doesn't mean specifically two people. It describes the two parties to the Torah. Who are the two parties to the Torah? There's a Taveya and a Nitva. But that doesn't mean that each party only is one individual. But that's why the Torah could use the word shnei, even though it's only talking about two, even though it's talking about more than two people. But Taveya v'nitma k'mishtai k'ra. The Torah is describing the two sides to the Torah, not the amount of people that each side necessarily have. Therefore, says the Braisa, how do we know that only men are qualified to be Edim? We have the Gzeri Shava. Namakan shnei, v'alahalan shnei, malhalan be'edim, afkan be'edim. The third Braisa, along the same lines. Tani idach, v'am d'shnei anoshim, be'edim ha'kosavai d'aver. The Pasuk is referring to Edim. At ha'emer be'edim o'enu v'aladinim. Again, the question is, does the Pasuk speak about Edim, or perhaps it's referring to Benedinim? Amrit. As it says the Gemara, v'chi anoshim b'aladin, do only men come to the Torah? Noshim ain't a boss lodin. So if it's talking about the litigants, why is it only referring to men? Vim noshach loimer, if you're going to ask a question, nemakan shenei, nem lahalan shenei, malahalan beidim, afkan beidim. Again, ask the mamayim noshach loimer, why would you think that this limit is not a good limit? V'chi teima, you'll say, you know why the Persic, when it describes the litigants, uses the words anoshim? Because ishalav aruch ara. It isn't respectful for women to come to the Torah. Mishum kol kvod basmelech pnima. So, therefore, I would say that the Pasuk is indeed referring to the litigants. And the men, only men come to the Torah, not women. Therefore, says the Braisa, namakan shnei, v'namalhan shnei, malhan beidim, afkamei. So, Tosfos asks, if the Braisa is following the concept of kol kvod basmelech pnima, and that's why a woman wouldn't come to a Torah, and that's why the Torah says Noshim. But not to say that women are disqualified from being Edim. So why don't you say the same thing about Edis? Kol kvud basmelech pnima. And it's not respectful for a woman to come say Edis. Answers Taisus. You can't compare the situation of a litigant to the situation of an aide. An aide has to come himself to say testimony. Aide, if somebody reports the Edis and somebody else repeats the Edis, is an invalid Edis. In fact, some of the Rishonim use this Gemara to prove that Edis can't be given b'ksav on writing, because again, otherwise she could commit it to writing. So Edim, even though there's a concept of kol kvud basmelech pnima, there's no choice, she has to come. By the litigants, they don't have to come, and that's why we could apply kol kvud basmelech pnima. So now the question is, what do we do? If you have a woman as a party to a dentira, and our Gemara is teaching us kol kvud basmelech pnima, that it's not respectful for a woman to come to Beis Din. So what happens when a woman has a din Torah? What should she do? Big machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim suggest that she appoints what the Gemara calls an anantler. We would call it a lawyer. That she appoints a lawyer to represent her. There are rishonim. The Gemara clearly says that a kohen gadol, who it's not respectful that a kohen gadol should have to go to a din Torah, clearly has the right to appoint an anatler. And these Rishonim say, the same applies to a woman. She should appoint an anatler. However, there are other Rishonim that take issue with that. Because they say, I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, that lawyers are paid to win cases. And therefore, if I have an entire with you, I want to come to the truth. So I'll say what's the truth. I don't know anything else but how to do it, to just say my side of the story, and whatever happens, happens. A lawyer who's paid to win may not use always the most legitimate tactics. And therefore, the halacha frowns on anatlers, the halacha frowns on lawyers, and therefore suggest what should be done, is that if the woman is a side to the entire, Beis Din should appoint someone to go listen to what she has to say, and report to Beis Din what her claims are. A third opinion that I saw amongst the Rishonim, very interesting opinion. The opinion of Rishonim is that women, there's a difference between a Toveya and a Nitva. So if I have a claim against you, then if I don't want to come or I can't come to Beis Din, the halacha allows me to appoint a lawyer. However, a Nitva, the halacha doesn't allow a lawyer to be appointed. Why? So these Rishonim say, as we've learned in halacha. The halacha is ein adam meis b'fnei bal chayvay. If I come to you and I say you owe me money, and then you're going to be embarrassed to say, after I did you such a favor that I lent you money, you're going to be embarrassed to say that you don't owe me money. But if it's your lawyer, he's not embarrassed. So that's why these Rishayim differentiate between the Teveya, where there aren't these kind of chazakas in play that can appoint a lawyer, versus a Nitva, who may not. I saw a beautiful Vart. Rashi says that the B'nai Tzalofchad they loved Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because we find that they came to Moshe Rabbeinu with a claim, Avinu Meis B'Midbar, Ubanim Lo Hayolah, and give us our share in Eretz Yisrael. So Mefarshim ask, where does Rashi take that they loved Eretz Yisrael? You know why they came to the Moshe Rabbeinu? There's an issue of dollars and cents, real estate. They wanted to get real estate in Eretz Yisrael. What's the right of Mechav versus Oretz? So our Gemara is the answer to that question. Because our Gemara says, Kol Kvud Besmelech Pnima, that a woman shouldn't come to the Dintara. We just finished discussing, she should appoint a lawyer, or the Bezdin should appoint a shliach to come speak to her and get her side of the story. The B'nai Salafchad, however, had such a tremendous love to Eretz Yisrael that they couldn't hold themselves back. And even though Kol Kvud Besmelech Pnima, they should have not come to Bezdin themselves, Mechav versus Oretz, the great love for Eretz Yisrael, they just ran to Bezdin to get their share in Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Vom Lishnei Anoshim, Mitzvah Baladina Shiyamdu. Bezdin, the halach is that the litigants have to stand. So before we begin this Gemara, maybe I shouldn't do it this way, but I'll do it anyway, the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch already paskin, the Paiskim already paskin, that this halacha that we're going to speak at length about Edom standing and Baladinim standing isn't that applicable nowadays. And they give two reasons. Number one, they say, the Bach says this, Chol Shiyar Deloyal, people aren't that strong. And it's hard, let's say you have a dintara going on for many days, and the Edom are under interrogation and questioning, for them to have to stand a whole day is very difficult. Another pshat that the Paiskim say is because, as we know, we discussed this when we learned Masechet Sanhedrin, we don't really have smicha nowadays. The smicha that people get nowadays is ordination, but it's not the smicha that goes back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. These halachas that we're about to learn that have to take place in Bezdin is only in a Bezdin of smuchim. We don't have a Bezdin of smuchim, so the halacha is somewhat differently. Again, it says the Gemara Tana Barva Amdushnei Anoshim Mitzvah Baladinim Shiyamdu Aru Yudish Shmati Shemrotzul Haishiv Eshneim. If they want both to sit, Meshivin. If both parties agree to sit, it's fine. What is Osir? Shlo Yechr Oimiv Echid Yoshiv. We shouldn't have a situation where they're not doing both the same. Echem the Dabakot Sarchoi, where one could speak as much as he wants. Vechr Oimiv Lekatzit Varchon. The other one that we say, shorten what you have to say. So I saw an interesting Machloikis Apoiskim. Machloikis Sma in Taz. Here the Gemara teaches us clearly that the Yorim have to be careful to be fair to both parties. And we can't tell you, you could say all you want, and to you, make it short. But what would be the halacha, which is a fairly common situation, that one of the parties is concise, and he says his side fairly quickly, the other person speaks a lot. So Bezdin didn't tell you, emad varecha, and him katzed varecha. To you, they didn't say anything, and to the other side, they just told him, katzed varecha, because he's just going on and on. What would be the halacha? The Sma says, that's fine. It's only specifically the case that our Gemara identifies, where you, I say what you want, and to you, I say, be short, so that puts you in a bad frame of mind. That's why it's usher. Taz disagrees. Taz says that even if I didn't tell you anything, having a situation where to one party I didn't cut him off, and the other party I cut off, could be soisim, tainoisav, could cause him to feel that he's at a disadvantage and shouldn't be done. Tan Rabbanan, Betzedek Tishbar Amisecha, Shloi Echad Yoshiv, Vecher Oimer. Echad Medabakot Tzorchoi, Vecher Oimer Ketzed Verecha, Tava Acher, Betzedek Tishbar Amisecha, Havadonis Chaver L'Kafskos. We have an obligation to always judge somebody L'Kafskos. Rabbeinu Yoinam identifies three groups of people in Klal Yisrael. Binyan is Rishon, in the Shara Tshuva. He says a person who's a tzaddik, we have the obligation to always judge him favorably. Even in a situation where it's highly unlikely that what he did could be understood, he's a tzaddik. A person who's a Beinoni, says the Rebbeinu Yoina, if we could explain what he did, l'kaf schus, we should. If we can't explain it easily, then we have no obligation to be danim l'kaf schus. And the third category is a Rasha. And by Rasha, says the Rebbeinu Yoina, on the contrary, even if we could find a way to be danim l'kaf schus, we have no obligation to be danim l'kaf schus. And it's important to note, and that's really what our Gemara is teaching us, what we're saying now is not some sort of a musr, not some sort of a chassidus. This is halacha. The Torah says, "B'tzedek tish ben amisecha havidanis kolad mukaf schos." However, the Chafetz Chaim makes an interesting observation. He says our Gemara is teaching us that havidanis averek mukaf schos. We have a very similar Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, havidanis kol odom mukaf schos. So he says, we know Pirkei Avos is merely the Chassidus. So I just finished saying that it's a halacha. And Chafetz Chaim asks, why does it belong in Pirkei Avos, which is merely the Chassidus? So he says that this halacha, that we have to be done, everybody l'kaf schus, is by somebody I know. And as I just finished saying the name Rebbeinu Yoina, if there's a person who I know, who's an average person, not a tzaddik, if I could be done l'kaf schus, says Rebbeinu Yoina, I have an obligation. But let's say it's a person whom I don't know. Or let's say it's a person who I know is a Rasha. Teaches us, the halacha doesn't require us to be danim l'kaf schus. Comes along the time and Pirkei Avos says, have we done as kol adam? Even the people that the halacha doesn't necessarily require that you be danim l'kaf schus, kol adam. Mila the chassidus is to be done everybody l'kaf schus. Why? So there's so many reasons why it's important to be danim l'kaf schus. It's important halacha, we should stop on it for a moment. One is, that's the mitzvah of a haftal reacha kamaicha. Another, as we know that Leimotza Kodesh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Brocha Ala Shalom. There's nothing more important to Hashem than Shalom. And how do you achieve Shalom? If I'm always Daniel Kaf Schus. Another pshat I saw is that the Gemara says in Masechet Kedushim, L'olam Yira Adam's Atzmai. A person should always look at himself, Chetzi Zakev Chetzi Chayev, as if he's 50-50. Also mitzvah Achas. Hiskriyas Atzmai. V'loilam Yira Adam is Kolaolam Kulay. A person should see the entire world, Chatzi Zakav, Chatzi Chayiv, exactly 50-50. Also mitzvah Achas, Hiskriyas Kolaolam Lakaf Schus. By doing one mitzvah, you tip those scales in the right direction. If I am Daniel Lakaf Schus, that what you did was the right thing, I turn the whole world Lakaf Schus. So it's so important to be Dan Lakaf Schus. The Maril Diskin says a very interesting vart. He says, one of the characteristics that a Kodesh Baruch Hu put into every human being, specifically in Klal Yisrael, is the midah busha, the midah of being embarrassed, of humility. What does that mean? That a person always thinks that I'm not so great. And if a person thinks that he's not so great, that is what's going to drive him to be better, to do better. If a person thinks that he's great already and everybody else is less than him, so then he'll feel complacent and won't feel the necessity to do better. Says Meryl Diskin. If a person has done everybody l'kaf schus, then he says, he thinks that everybody's greater than him. And that causes him to want to be better. But if he thinks that everybody's l'kaf choyv and he's better, that there won't be any drive for him to be better. And that's why it's important to be done l'kaf schus. Chafetz Chaim takes a different approach. Chafetz Chaim approaches as follows. He says, Even when we do mitzvahs, our mitzvahs aren't that perfect. We get up in the morning to daven. So who could say that he davens perfectly? Gets shachris. So if we're down a personal kafschus, we say, well, the person went to sleep late. The person has all sorts of different issues on his mind. And he still came to shul. And he still came to daven. So he davened the best he can. That's how we want our Kodesh Baruch Hu to talk at us. How do we get that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should look at us that way, if we look at other people that way. That even when we see they do something, it isn't perfect. We say, well, he did the best he can. So if we want a Kodesh Baruch Hu to look at us that way, we have to look at other people that way. Right. It's a midah k'neged midah. One final vart, there's a lot more to say, one final vart on Betzadik Tishpet HaMisecha. The Ben Yoyada says this vart. He says, we read the word Betzadik as Betzadik. But really, as we know, there are no Nekudas in the Torah. And the word Betzadik could be read Betzad Kuf. Betzadik, Betzad Kuf. What does Betzad Kuf mean? If you take the letter Kuf in the Alabes, what are the two letters on the tzad, on the sides of Kuf? Before the Kuf comes a tzadik, and after the Kuf comes a resh. Tzar, narrow. Betzad Kuf. You know how you're supposed to look at somebody? Even Betzar, even though it's a very narrow path, it's very hard to come up with a way to be Dara Mekav Zchus. Betzad Kuf. That's the way we're supposed to look at everybody else. Tan Rabbi Yosef. Betzadik Tishpet HaMisecha. Am sh'atcha b'tayr b'mitzvahs. Somebody who's equal to you in Torah mitzvahs, or tam t'chachem, hishtadl doina yofa. The Gemara will explain what this means immediately. How do we know to explain, say to Rishonim, the pasuk this way? Because Rishonim said the pasuk should have really said the word b'tzedek tishbet chavirecha. Why does it say b'tzedek tishbet amisecha? To teach us this limud. Says the Gemara, Rav Ulvareid, Rav Eloi, Havalei, Dina Kamed, Rav Nachman. He added in Torah in front of Rav Nachman. Sholach le'Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef sent them the following message. Ula chavreinu, amis b'tayr b'mitzvahs. He's our colleague in Torah and mitzvahs. I just want you to know that. Omalei. So Rav Nachman announced, and as Ben Yoyod explains, he purposely made this announcement that people shouldn't assume or accuse that he's going to treat the Talmud Chacham differently. L'may sholach li. Why did he send me this lechnufli? To flatter him? It's aser. Hadama l'mishvet tigrei. He said it that his dentara should come first. So the machloikus rishonim. What does this mean? Taisus himself says two pshatim. One pshat Taisus says is that if there's a waiting room of people waiting for dentara, and the dying comes and he sees that it's Talmud Chacham waiting for dentara, his dentara should be taken off first. But according to this pshat of Taisus, if a dying is already in the middle of dentara and the Talmud Chacham is waiting, he has to wait. But then Taisus says another pshat that no. Even if a dying is in the middle of a dentira, kavod ha'tayra requires that he stop the dentira and take on the other dentira. Very bechidish. However, I did see other rishonim that make the following dichotomy. The Gemara Masechta Ksuba says that not only do we have an obligation to show respect to Talmud Chacham, but we even have an obligation to show respect to the relatives of Talmud Chacham. And that's the nafkamina. By a Talmud Chacham, even if the dying is in the middle of a dentira, he should stop as kavod ha'tayra. When it comes to the relatives of the Talmud Chacham, so if the dying hasn't begun, so he should first take off the dentira of the relatives of the Talmud Chacham. But if he's already begun, he should finish the other dentira and the relative can wait. Inami, another nafkamina, is l'shuda d'dayna. Machloikus Rashi in Tosfos, what does shuda d'dayna mean? Rashi means, says shuda d'dayna, is that let's say you'll have a dentira. And Bezdin really doesn't know how to paskin. So Bezdin has to try to figure out who, if there's a dentira, where somebody was gave a gift to Reuven and Shimon, and we can't figure out who they mean, so Bezdin should use their own judgment, their own common sense. So it's important to know who's the Talmud Chacham, because it's all most likely the person who gave his gift to a Talmud Chacham. That's Rashi's pshat. But Tosfos has a different pshat in Shuda D'dayna. Tosfos says Shuda D'dayna means that in a dentira that's at a standstill, Bezdin was given the authority to paskin. They don't have to use any logic. They have the authority to paskin. So what does it make a difference if he's a Talmud Chacham? Says the Marshal in explaining the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Bezdin has the authority to give whomever they want. So let's say there are two parties to this dentara. And Bezdin could choose whom they want. So who's Bezdin likely to choose? The Talmud Chacham. So it's important to know that Bezdin should be notified that maybe the other person is a Talmud Chacham, so they shouldn't use that to make their decision. Amu Ula, says Ula Machloikus Baladinim. The machlokes of standing is required is regarding the baladinim. Al be'edim, when it comes to the edim, divrei hakabamida. Everybody agrees that the edim must stand. The ksiv v'amdu shnei hanoshim. Amrav huna machlokes. The machlokes here that we're having about the baladinim standing or not, b'shas masav matin is during the deliberations. Al b'shas k'madin, when it comes to the giving the psak, divrei hakol. Everybody is in agreement. Dayanim b'yeshiva. The Dayanim stand, or Baladinim Ba'amida, and the Baladinim sit, the Baladinim stand. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk said, V'yesh Moshe Lishpiras Am, Moshe Rabbeinu sat, V'yamar Am, and they stared. Lashon Acher, Machloikis, B'shas Mas V'matin, Al B'shas G'madin, Tiber Akol D'yonim B'yeshiva, or Baladinim B'amida, the Baladinim must stand. Why? The Eidim K'gmar Din Dami. What is the Eidim? Because the Eidim, we know there's Halacha, we're going to use this Halacha many times, Kivin Shigit Shuv Enochai Zemaga. Once the Eidim say their piece, they can't go back. So the Eidim saying their piece is always like a Gemar Din. And by the Eidim, the Torah uses the words, the Ksibuhu V'amdu Shnei HaNoshim. So therefore, when it comes to the Gemar Din, the Dabali Dinim are equal to the Eidim, and they must stand. Says the Gemara, the Visa de Rav Huna, the wife of Rav Huna, Havali Dina Kamed Rav Nachman, had it in turn in front of Rav Nachman. And as Rashi points out, this was after Rav Huna passed away. And therefore the obligation, this is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, therefore the obligation to give her respect isn't the same as when he's alive. But he must show her some respect, at least with Rabbonim. So now he said, hey, Kinevet, exactly what should I do here? If I'll get up for her when she walks into the Beis Din, the other dayan, the other party will feel that I'm favoring her. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, is that if I don't stand up for her, she'll feel terrible. Here she always got respect. She was Rav Huna's wife. And now she's not getting this respect, and being put into that situation will cause her not to be able to have the proper frame of mind for the Din Torah. Eat my akim and come up, if I won't get up, I have to get up. I have to show respect. So he told the Shamas, say v'afrachalei bar avza, throw at me a goose, v'shad elavoy, and that's why I'll get up, and that's why the other party will not be offended. So Farshim say, but this isn't a kima, sheyesh behidur. The halacha is when you get up for somebody to show respect, it has to be obvious that you show respect. Getting up in such a fashion doesn't show respect. So one pshat is going back to what I just learned a minute ago. The whole chiv here is a weak chiv, because her husband was no longer alive. So for that, this is good enough. Or, as long as she understands that I'm getting up out of respect for her, the fact that not everybody else will recognize it doesn't make a difference. Ask the Gemara, but going back to what we learned a moment ago, v'amamar, machloikis b'shas ma'asamatin, there's machloikis during the deliberations if the Bali Didim have to stand. Ah, b'shas ma'adin, when it comes to the psak, divri hakol, everybody's of agreement, dayonim b'yeshiv, that dayonim sit. Bali Didim b'amidim, so how could I sit? How could the dayan sit when she's standing? There's no respect. Answers the Gemara, the yosef commander shari masani, he should sit like he's tying his shoes, so he's not really sitting and not really standing. And while he's in that position, he should say, ish ploni atazaka, ish ploni atachayiv. And in fact, many paiskim, the machloikas had paiskim how to learn this Gemara. The Gra says that this Gemara really is based on the entire requirement of standing is only lechatchila. But the Yevid, you could sit. So since but the Yevid, you could sit, that's the right thing to do it in this position, because of the covet that she deserves. Others, however, say, some Seif learns this way, that from here we see that a leaning position can be considered both like standing and like sitting. So for the requirement to sit, he fulfilled that requirement. For the requirement to stand, it's also fine. Actually, this is a machloikis apaiskim, because the question comes up, we know that when one gets an aliyah, or one lanes from the Torah, reads from the Torah, he has to do it in a standing position. What is the halacha if you could do it in a leaning position? The Ramah says that you could do it in the leaning position. Why? Because our Gemara seems to say that leaning is good as standing. The Magen Avraham disagrees. The Magen Avraham says wherever the Torah specifies that you have to do it standing, leaning is not going to be good enough. It's only in this case where the evidence is good enough if you didn't do it standing anyway. If a Talmud Chacham and Amaretz have a Din Torah together, we tell a Talmud Chacham to sit, and to Amaretz we also say, Tiv, sit, because he shouldn't feel that he's being mistreated. But if he chooses to stand, less lamba, it's fine. Says the Gemara, Rava Bar Shavya, Havel Adina Kameid Rapapa. Rabbi Shavya had a dintar in front of Papa. Aisrei. So he told him to sit. Vais enam el baldin. And he also told the baldin that he could sit. So he sat himself down. Also shlich beidina. The party that was in Amaritz, the court attendant made him get up. And after the attendant made him get up, Rapapa didn't say anything. Asked Gemara, based on what we're learning, how did he do so? If he's going to be made to stand and the other one could sit, it'll cause him to lose his ability to claim his claims. Rapapa said, if I would have told him to stand and the other party to sit, that's when we have a concern. Here, it wasn't I who told him to sit. It was the attendant to stand. It was the attendant who told him to sit, stand. Meimer Omer, so he'll understand, I don't get along with the attendant, so he made me stand. And the other person does, but it has nothing to do with the Dayanim. Vam Rabbi Barafuna. Haitzam Rabban Vam Oretz. This lay dinim Bahadi Adadi. Vatamachachon Am Oretz have a dintara together. Lo Lugdim Tzum Rabbanan Velasif. The Tzum Rabbanan should not come to court and sit down before the other party comes. It looks like he came to the Bezdin first to speak to the Dayan before the other party came. However, says the Gemara, it's only if they don't have a specific Seder, this person with the Bezdin, with the member of the Bezdin, if they have a specific time that they learn together, less than body is not concerned. Why? The other party will understand he came to his shir, not that he came to say his case first. Furthermore, the Paiskim say, this is only when you have a dintar between a Talmud Chacham and a Ma'aretz. But if it's two Talmud Chachamim, and the other Talmud Chacham will certainly understand that no legitimate Dayan will listen to one party without the other, then we don't have to be worried about this. If Talmud Chacham knows about Eidus, and to him it's an embarrassment to come to Beis Din, the Zutuminei, that is not as significant, as chashuv as he is, the Zutuminei l'sudikamei, l'lezel. He doesn't have to go. Amrav Shesh Brei Ravida, Afanan Namatanina, we learned this pasuk, Motzah Saka Kupa, if somebody finds something in the street, Vein Darka Lita, even though there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, Harezir Layito. However, says the Barhani Mil B'mayna, this is only when it's financial issues. Al Basura, Ein Ege Chachm Vein Eitz Ven Tfilon Negle Shem. Kamakon Shesh Bechil HaShem, Ein Chachm Kavad L'Rav, and Ishakam. Pesach Tshuva says, this halacha, the Paiskim say, even though when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, a person has a right to say, I'm going to be moichel on my covet because of to return the money, then Tari doesn't have to go. However, the Paiskim say that if one of the Dayanim, even if not the other Dayanim, is greater than he, or even if the Bali Dinim are greater than him, then this halacha doesn't apply and he should go. First, explain, the Pasuk says, Kom makoim, shesh bechil Hashem, ein chokin kovel l'rav. If we see that this is a place of chil Hashem, why is there Chil Hashem here? People who have the proper respect, both to Talmid Chachamim and to Hashem, in such a place there is no Chil Hashem.